6:06, we're gonna call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Carter. Harrison. Jay.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Michaels. Mitchell.
Here.
Alex.
Here.
Cohort.
Present. Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We moved in second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Need approval of the minutes for February 5th, 2016.
So moved.
Second.
It's open for discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Do we have public participation? Do we have any communication from the committee? None. Okay, we need approval of the county township motor fuel tax claim for February and March 2016.
So moved.
Seconded.
It's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to the county engineers report.
The first item is brought to us by RPC, the CCARTS fiscal 2017 grant application. So
we have this screened out.
I don't have a living room big enough to sit that far back.
You get some surround sound in here. It'd be killing.
No, we'd have to pay more taxes for that. You vote against it. Turn down the lights here, please. This doesn't have a remote on it.
Oh, okay.
It just does the screen.
Good morning. Just as we did last year, every year we submit a grant application for the continuance of our state and federal funding for rural transit in Champaign County. We go by the name of CCARTS now. The branding has actually worked really well. The buses are more visible, and we have a better presence in the county with the CCARTS name. So every year, this application includes our projected ridership and vehicle miles. And this year, our projected ridership is actually up about 10 to 15%, and vehicle miles are down at least 10%. So that's good on both ends of the spectrum. The application also includes coordination within the community so that IDOT can monitor that we're doing our part in the bigger picture, as well as system fares, level of service, and the structure of the service with any changes for the fiscal year. As some of you may know, we have an exciting change proposed for this fiscal year, and we'll go into details about that RAN tool service later in the presentation. The reason we're here, we bring the application to the subcommittee. Highway and transportation just makes sense for this project. And we move on to the county board after that as the governing body of the county, which is the grantee of the funds. So this year, we got really lucky. We got our 10% increase in the state downstate operating assistance funding, which is great considering the unique situation we're in with that at the moment. So our overall funding is up $70,000 this year. And with the service contract from Rand Tool, we'll actually be able to bring more of that downstate funding down and start utilizing more of what we've been given, which then opens us up in the future for them to say, oh, you really are increasing your service, you're utilizing this money more efficiently. So that's going to be excellent for us. We did have a little bit more, that little note at the bottom. Our service contracts were estimated to be about $85,000 last year. That fell dramatically short due to our loss of the Health Alliance contract and some other things. So this guaranteed money from Rand Tool would be vital to our system. Are there any questions on what I've gone over so far? Okay. I'll hand it over to Drew from CUMTD to talk about the budget for this year.
My name is Drew Bargeman. I work for CUMTD, Special Services Manager, but part of those responsibilities is acting as the Operations Manager for C-Carts. And so I'm going to kind of walk you through a few of the items in the budget that have changed from the previous year. Our training costs that proposed have gone up from last year. One thing, this is the third time that we've presented a budget for this program, and so one of the things that we're getting better at is kind of finding where those actual numbers lie. The first go around, we were going off of previous requisitions and trying to kind of estimate some things, and so we're fine-tuning the process a bit. And so that's part of that. Health insurance costs have risen a little bit. We have two dispatchers that are eligible for health insurance coverage. One of them is a full-time employee, one of them is eligible under the Affordable Care Act. And so this second employee was added after they had completed their first year of service with the district. And so that was when they were eligible for those benefits. Plus, we estimated a 10% premium increase just to kind of make sure that we don't get caught unprepared, I guess.
Who constitutes the group of insureds that includes the staff? Is it MTD's? It's MTD's group?
So all the C-Carts employees are district employees.
And are you your own group, or are you in with the City of Champaign or something like that?
We are our own.
So it's own group, okay.
Yeah, correct.
No, I mean, I know, but from a health insurance standpoint.
From a health insurance standpoint, I know that we are in a pool. I don't know who else is in that. I can find out. I think it's with other transit providers in the state.
Okay.
I believe it's a larger statewide pool, but I would have to check for sure.
Okay.
Let's see. So we are currently operating out of a temporary site, 1207 East University. It was formerly Mid-Illinois Concrete in Davis-Houck. Is it mechanical?
Mechanical.
So they have actually moved into a new building, and MTD has leased this property. So our lease on that, C-Cart's lease on that area will be ending pretty soon because MTD is also in the process of expanding our maintenance facility. So when that facility is actually done, there's office space planned in the mezzanine area for C-Carts and covered parking, which is the first time that these vehicles will be parked overnight inside a covered facility, which is a big benefit. So in this coming year, there are some kind of startup costs with getting into that new building. There's some furnishings that don't exist currently, desks, chairs, things like that, to get that office space ready. And so the lease for that space goes up slightly for this next year, but we should see it come back down the following year as those costs have been, as everything that is needed for that space has been acquired, and then you're just looking at space for the, or lease for the space itself. Casualty and liability coverage. This is another category that in the past, we're getting better at estimating a per vehicle cost. And so that has risen over the last year, but it's because we're improving the ways that we're figuring those costs. Yes.
Oh, first, Madam Chair, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Thank you. on my calculation, without the information on the last one, is roughly everything is bumped up about $28,000. And so what is the percentage increase on the budget? I mean, that's quite a jump. And for you all to fill the gap, I'm assuming without seeing any other figures.
Sure. And this budget also reflects us, CCARTS, being able to access the entire allotment of the downstate operating assistance funding. And to date, we have not fully done that. And so some of these numbers, we're planning for being able to pull all that money down, but that may not be the case. And so some of these categories may not never hit those totals, if that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense, but still doesn't tell me what is the percentage increase over 2016.
We used
just ballpark. Give me an idea.
The full amount for both of them.
If you go back to the first.
Yeah, go on.
So last year's total budget was $852,000. This year's is $922,000.
So that increase is what you have detailed in the slide we were just
correct.
Looking at.
Correct. Yeah, those are the line items that have increased over the past year.
So about
well, but I added up 28,000, and that's more than 28,000.
It's more stuff.
I mean, there's also things. There's certain things that are formulas as far as FICA and state taxes and things that the employer pays. There's an IMRF program that the employer contributes to. All so you know some of those costs increase incrementally over year to year.
And
personnel costs.
Okay. Thank you.
That's from 852 to 922, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what I was trying to make up was the difference because on the other slide it came up to 28,000.
Well, yeah, and I apologize. I didn't put the actual figures for the casualty and liability. I think that's around
20,000.
Yeah, 22,000.
Yeah, this isn't an all-inclusive list,
correct.
Right?
These those are kind of selected the largest items. Changes, I guess.
Okay.
That are.
Okay.
Any other questions about that stuff? Okay. The exciting stuff.
So as Zoe mentioned, we're still in talks, but things look very promising that we're looking to contract for some service with the Village of Rantoul.
If I can back up a minute.
Sure.
I guess I'd just say to Zoe and to your CCARTS group, keep an eye on the cost escalation at MTD. Because, I mean, we want that money to be going to rural transit. And if it's going to buy furniture or buy covered parking lots for the buses and all that, you know, that's great and all. But we can serve just as many people parking the buses outside as we could inside. So,
yeah.
I mean, if this is something that is legitimately going to result in a higher quality of service being delivered to rural transit customers, it's one thing. If this is helping the MTD build their empire, so to speak, no offense, we need to make sure that this isn't something that goes on year
right.
after year where the MTD views this as a source of subsidy for their ongoing
I appreciate those concerns. I definitely can tell you I'm the regional coordinator for a region of 12 counties, and I oversee, to a certain extent, 30 agencies that have vehicles like this. And I can tell you that the vehicles that are parked indoors, the body holds up so much better.
Sure, yeah. No, and I think the relationship with the MCD is beneficial in terms of providing the service. I mean, obviously, if we had to duplicate the services we're getting for the MCD, it would end up taking a lot more overhead. So I'm not objecting to that relationship. I'm just want to make sure that we, you know, keep our eyes on the fact that it's delivery of service. That's the primary goal for these dogs.
And next year, we're expecting a reduction on the payment for the lease. This year is just because we are moving, and right now we are operating out of a trailer. Basically, that's sure. where we have. Then we don't have any furniture. We don't have anything. Then we are moving to an office. Then we need to buy the furniture to be able to operate.
And one question I had at the last presentation that you gave at the county board meeting was whether there was an opportunity to better leverage MTD's existing dispatch infrastructure for C-cars. And I think the last time we talked, it was totally separate. Is that a requirement that they be separate?
Yes. It's part of when we receive the funding allocation, MTD receive a funding allocation from one source and we receive it from another source. And one of the requirements when we decided to start working with MTD on rural transportation services, one of the requirements from IDOT and from the federal government was that we have to keep separate operation.
I guess the short answer is that you could have MTD dispatch certain stuff, but that hourly cost is very different than having a C-Cars dispatcher, if that makes sense, because those hours would have to be billed to C-Cars to keep those funding streams.
Sure, I understand. But I don't know what the workload is of the C-Cars dispatchers, but at the point where we're now looking at providing, you know, $20,000 a year in extra health insurance because we've got this additional dispatcher position on the C-Car side, that gets to the point where maybe we should be looking at, can we contract with MTD provide service?
Right now we employ two dispatchers. One works roughly from 5:45 in the morning.
You say we, that's the C-Car dispatchers?
Correct.
Yeah, C-Car.
Correct. They work roughly from 4:45 in the morning till 1:15 p.m. And then the second one comes in at 1 o'clock and finishes the work day. So there's 15 minutes of overlap, but yeah.
And they are really busy, really busy.
And MTD, what's MTD's dispatch structure? I mean, I know you have dispatchers as well. Correct.
Yeah, depending on the time of day, it's between two and three people.
Okay, so your feeling is there is a full-time workload for the C-Cart's dispatcher
correct.
At this point?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not only dispatching, they're also doing scheduling for the drivers, as well as taking reservations for rides and things like that.
I got to ask.
No, sure.
Yeah.
Actually, this week I'm filling in for our morning dispatcher, so I'm getting to know it inside and out firsthand. So Zoe mentioned that we're talking with the Village of Rantoul right now, trying to contract for service, which we're pretty excited about because it would allow us to operate a little more efficiency within that area. And so. This is still tentative. We haven't reached any formal agreements yet, and so at some point we will be bringing this, I imagine, to you for approval on that. But what the requirements that we've received so far, they're interested in service between the hours of 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., and then 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. as more of a fixed route service that is accessible to anyone that is interested in, you know, getting on the vehicle. Currently, all of C-Cars operates as a demand response service where passenger calls at least 48 hours in advance, and typically what you see with a service of that type is you can pick up, you know, 3 to 4 passengers within a given hour and still get them to their destination in a timely fashion. So this would allow for quite a bit more efficiency, especially within the Rantoul area, which accounts for about 60 to 65% of C-Cart's ridership. The fare in the village would remain the same as $2 for a one-way trip. This type of a route allows us to do a deviation for passengers with disabilities. They still would have to give a little more advance notice so that we could plan for that, but that would still be available on a more door-to-door basis for those passengers. This would be two 14-passenger vehicles operating within Rantoul between those hours that are mentioned, and on a roughly 30 to 40 minute headway. So if someone stood at a fixed spot, roughly every 30 to 40 minutes, they'd see a vehicle come by. So they'd have that opportunity to ride. At this time, we're still trying to get some input on where the village sees, you know, the most need for stops. So we're looking maybe somewhere between the range of, you know, 10 stops throughout the community that people could board at. Between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., so in that gap between those two, we would still operate the same demand response service that we do currently. So no one would be without service, It would just look a little bit different during the middle of the day than it would in the mornings and in the afternoons. I can tell you we've had two public meetings so far, one with just general members of the public, and then the second one was this week. We talked with some of the industrial employers on the west end of town. Everyone seems to be pretty excited about this. So we're looking forward to continuing talks about this.
We are scheduling another public meeting at the beginning of May.
Mm-hmm. Have they been well attended?
What?
Have they been well attended?
The first meeting that we had about between 15 and 20 people. The meeting that we had this week, we had about 25 of the employers. But talking to the person who is from the Chamber of Commerce in Rantoul, she said that she attended the meeting this week. She said that they put the article from the newspaper on the Facebook page, and they got more than 3,000 replies from the community about the excitement regarding having a route in place. Mm-hmm. Then there is a lot of excitement about it.
This this works out in the industrial park in Rantoul. Is there plans to look at other parts of the county for that kind of service?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable that if this is successful, I would imagine that there's other parts of the county that would be interested in looking at.
Is there
like this.
Any grant funds and things that resources that you can get to increase the size?
Sure. So, and part of this deal, I mean, this slide here we can talk about a little bit. This project, the total cost is about $180,000 a year to operate those vehicles kind of in that fixed manner. The Village of Rantoul is, they've kind of committed to providing half of that. And so I know they've talked about various, they're working on that side of things. They've looked at, you know, reaching out to some of the employers in town or other sources to come up with that funding. But then the C-CARTS budget, the Downstate Operating Assistance Program, that's where the other half of that money would be coming from. And so it's allowing us to kind of leverage those dollars a little bit further than operating alone, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And I know this is getting out of your main mission, but researched the industrial companies, mm-hmm. industrial sites around the county to, you know, to see what employees they have, and I'm curious if you had a chance to talk with Craig Ross at EDC.
Yes, we are in communication with them, and they are involved on all that we are doing in Rantoul with the employers in Rantoul.
Because, you know, I mean, on the horizon, there might be somebody that's looking to come to the county that if they knew that they had this service that, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it allows them to have good employees that don't have to drive.
Yeah, who is the expected user of these trips in Rantoul? Is it essentially people commuting to work?
That's kind of what started the conversation, but it's pretty convenient that most of the employees of these industries on the west side of town live on the east side of town, mm-hmm. so we loop through the whole village, and of course with our funding we're required to open it up to the public, so it will never be a charter service that you say, are you an employee of one of these companies?
Sure, right. But it's the service has never been restricted based on need or physical ability or anything like that, right? Anybody who wants to can call.
Yep. Yeah, correct. Yep.
They're all accessible.
It's accessible to everyone.
So will you, I mean, I'm kind of wondering, it seems like the current system is, I assume because of the 48-hour call ahead and the, you know, the time it takes to get the bus there, it's not exactly, it would not be convenient for somebody who had an alternative. So if somebody has a car, I doubt they're going to call C-CARTS or Chris. Here, you're sort of getting into, I don't want to call it urban, but you know, this is more of a traditional style urban mm-hmm. transit model, right? Where, I mean, if I worked at one of these plants, I might take the bus instead of driving, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see whether this, how this changes the user mix, mm-hmm. whether this ends up being, you know, more broader group of users than what you have for the existing rural
service. That's part of the hope, I mean, that you can reach more people than more previously.
And we can get into a discussion about what constitutes rural then and what the intent of the program is. I mean, Rentoul is perhaps rural by Champaign Urbana standards, but Rentoul is not rural. So the fact that they are, I would probably not be supportive of this if the village weren't significantly participating in the cost.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But since they are,
we wouldn't either.
let's see what happens.
I mean, the definition that we're required to go off of as far as what's rural and what's urban is from the census data.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is still classified as a rural area, so we are able to, which is kind of surprising because certain areas, like Tolono
is
getting included in the urbanized area. Because
right,
so
yeah,
close
yeah
to
they
that.
Kind
so
of get, get ripped off there.
Exactly.
But if someone lived in Gifford, mm-hmm. they could call carts, go into Rantoul, go to the doctor, get on the bus, go to the store,
mm-hmm.
you know, pick up the carts bus, and then get their trip back to Gifford, right?
Correct. Yeah.
You know, not just use it for work. I mean, it brings up the whole area and gives that person the opportunity that you really expect, right?
Yeah. And essentially the purpose of, you know, even though Rantoul doesn't seem rural to us, the idea of having the rural grants is to make sure that in the entire county and the entire state, every person has access to transportation. So
it's rural in the sense that there's already a provision for urban transit.
Exactly.
I understand the distinction. Yeah.
And one of our hopes is that because we are dedicating a couple vehicles to that area, that currently, just from the call volume, we have 7 vehicles in the street on a given day, and you know, 4 to 5 of those are tied going back and forth to Rantoul because that's where you know, the requested rides are. We're hoping that by dedicating 2, maybe 3 vehicles to the area, we can open up some more service to other parts of the county as well.
Well, with the service, the decision was made at the beginning of this program, this project, to deliberately concentrate on Rantoul.
Yeah, initially,
So this seems like a logical progression. I mean, the effort was to develop Rantoul as the first market, so to speak. So I think this is, I think you're right that now that that's happening, you've got enough ridership in Rantoul that it may make sense to try something like this where you are able to free up some of those resources to look at other areas of the county, which is something that the county board has been sort of saying since day one. As we understand, you have to start somewhere, but in the long run, it'd be nice to see that expand to more of the county.
Exactly. It hasn't been easy. We have been working on this for more than
I know.
And as Rhea mentioned, we are still going to be holding at least 1 more, maybe 2 more meetings. So the routing and you know, structure of certain stuff isn't finalized just yet, but these are kind of it's kind of the skeleton of the program. And then we're shooting for, it seems very likely, but we should be able to have this in place before the end of the calendar year. So we're trying to keep that moving, get that in place.
And it's subject to approval by IDOT.
Were there any questions on the operational side of this? We have a visual of the proposed route. As Drew mentioned, it's a very rough draft right now. But we'd be happy to share that unless there are more questions.
Can we see the proposed route? Because I know this one lady. She's been taking a cab to her doctor's appointment here in Champaign from Rantoul, and she says she's paid as much as $35 for a ride one way.
$35?
Mm-hmm. But not on Chris.
Not on C cards.
Not C cards.
Yeah.
She can take C cards, right? From Champaign to Rantoul?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit tough to see, but the purple line is kind of the proposed routing. Some of the stops along the way, it does go through downtown Rantoul. We had put some surveys out to a couple of different employers, to the multicultural center in town. I think I can't remember if it was distributed anywhere else.
Nearby the schools.
By the schools. Mm-hmm. So to try to, I mean, the route was kind of developed based on some of that feedback. On the southern side of the route, the multicultural center and the youth center were included as stops. On the west side of town, the industrial park or the industrial area was included. Walmart was a very largely requested stop, as well as the county market there in town. So I'm trying to piece a lot of that information together and make something that's kind of, that flows a little bit. So.
And we did some surveys before deciding on the route. We did surveys and collected that information to have an idea of the people that would be using the service and the possible stops for the service. We got input through surveys from the community.
So you all are not making like door-to-door stops?
We are doing that between 9 and 2 in the afternoon.
So somebody called with 48 hours notice, you can come and pick them up at their residence?
Yes. That's between 9 and 2. During the 5 to 8, 2 to 5, or 3 to 5, 3 to 6, we can pick them up if they are disabled.
Okay.
I don't mean to add to your route, but the lady that has the movie set and museum manufacturer there on the east side, does she have any need?
She was at the meeting yesterday or the day before yesterday, and she didn't have any particular comments about it.
Okay.
They're in the old Walmart or yeah, whatever that is on the east side. It's Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
As I look at this, and we're coming into summertime, and the youth will be out of school and have some other types of needs, not today, but in your future thinking, will there be any room to adjust where the routes go to serve as more of a dense housing population to where youth might be wanting to go for summer activities?
Yeah, I think in discussions with the village administrator, Jeff Feginchu, it sounds like this is kind of their first step. I think they want to get something off the ground and kind of running, and then with the full realization that this will evolve over a little bit of time.
Okay, good, good, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, it's not set on a stone.
Correct.
No, I realize that, but I just wondered, as you all move along, because I look at that and it's great east-west, but it's not great north-south, and there's density of housing, and so that was what I was looking at.
Yeah. I'm sure that the route at the end will not be that route. It will be different.
Okay.
But we need to start somewhere.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I like
that's
it.
All that
yeah, looks good.
Thank you. I think, like Max was talking about, with the employment situation, and I think some of the employers have talked about wanting more employees, better transportation improves, you know, the economic situation, which has always been an issue in Rantoul whenever we've discussed it, after closing the plant and some of those other issues, and then improving just transportation throughout the community.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. I do think kind of the long range, I don't say vision, but I think where it could end up, I mean, you'll have kind of a network of, you know, whether that's being able to get someone from some of these areas down to Champaign and Urbana, and then you've got transit there, or if you're going to one of these areas, you've got transit there. And to touch on a point that was brought up earlier, I have received emails before asking if we considered something like this in Mahama or something like that. And this was already kind of in the works, so we needed to make sure that this went well first. But I think there's interest in the county, so.
Do what you do well, and then move on.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not only the employees. I have received several requests from seniors in San Joe who are willing to come here, and they don't have transportation. And they keep asking, is there any way that we can have a regular route between San Joe and Champaign Urbana? Because there is no way for us to move from there to here. And there are a lot of needs out there.
The Norfolk Southern line from Mansfield is very underutilized. You could run commuter rail in from Muhammad if you had enough. You just get 10 or 20,000 commuters a day coming back and forth from Muhammad. All of a sudden, you got a case.
When
I retire,
is Rita, is this number up here that someone will call, or do you all have another number?
When you're
number for C-Cards, I have a website.
What is CCAR's number?
Phone number is 217-344-4287. And someone can reach them between the hours of 6 a.m. and 6 p.m.
So as you all are thinking ahead 5 years, are you thinking about integrating into the system autonomous cars?
Come on,
Patsy. Come on, guys.
It's not been mentioned yet.
We had a long email.
Oh, boy.
He sent me the PowerPoint presentation. I've seen it, yeah. It's on the horizon.
Sorry. In Chicago and New York and Detroit and L.A.
I sent them sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing about autonomous cars. And Jeff...
Autonomous. Oh, autonomous, sorry.
Cars.
Yes.
And they're on the horizon, and really for aging population, it's very exciting. So Jeff had to trump my tongue-in-cheek by sending me a PowerPoint presentation that he saw at... A conference, which is excellent. So I've been bugging both of them to have that presentation done at the Kuat's tech meeting.
I'm looking for someone from the university.
Yeah, we're trying to find somebody from U of I to do that.
Oh,
instead
great.
Of somebody from Detroit.
Oh,
I
so,
reach out to the university.
Oh, well.
Might be a little easier on the budget.
But that was really an exciting PowerPoint.
It is.
And it's something that is... Yeah, we have to keep thinking about those possibilities, especially as we age.
We need approval.
We need some kind of approval.
You need a motion to approve the application for this grant and, if awarded, the acceptance.
Make a motion.
Okay, then made a second. Any discussion?
Yes. Thank you so much.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Thanks.
Thank you.
You gotta get eventually get John Jam bus out of Mahoney.
Chauffeur limits it.
Chauffeur limits
it. They gotta be better. Personal service.
All right. Well, now we'll do the business that will be on the roads that'll carry the C-card system, right? All right. So moving on to item number 9, a petition and a resolution from Compromise Township for the replacement of a culvert. You'll see that information on pages 15, 16, and 17. This is a currently in place. There's a 144-inch corrugated metal pipe that's been in for 50 years. It's not long enough, and it's starting to have some structural issues, and the highway commissioner would like to replace it with a new pipe of the same size, much longer, so that the road is wider for use by agricultural equipment. And so he has put in a petition to have that culvert replaced, estimated at $30,000, and the county would pay 50% of the replacement of that structure. So I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
I move approval.
I'll second.
We moved and second. Open for discussion. Seeing that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
We have a petition and resolution from Crittenden Road District Township Highway Commissioner for the replacement of a pipe culvert, which is actually at the intersection of the South County Line Road, and that is the, I handed out a new resolution, because anytime something is within a quarter mile of the county road, it is not the responsibility of the township to pay for it. It's the responsibility of the county by statute. So the new resolution, instead of the county paying 50%, says that the county would pay 100% of the replacement of that structure.
Which is county road is that within a quarter mile of?
Yes.
Which county road is that within a quarter mile of?
Well, it's within a quarter mile of the county line.
Oh, county line. They said a county road.
No, the county line. I'm sorry if I misspoke.
What
it's
the hell?
It's a statute that goes back a long, long time.
The county pays for it.
Yeah.
I know. And if it's within a quarter mile of the county line.
So is it cost split with Douglas?
It can be, but when you split the cost, it's by EAV, and we end up paying about 95% anyway.
Nice.
So it's not even really worth the hassle to do that.
Sounds like it's
The only time we ever even get close is if we got something that borders with McLean, because you go Vermilion, Douglas, Pyatt.
Which is about 3 miles long, miles of border, right?
So we have to have concurrence by the highway commissioner in Douglas County as well as the county engineer. But as far as the cost split goes, it's not worth the hassle, to be very honest with you. So we propose to pay for 100%.
Somebody had a representative in that area way back when.
It must have been. And that's not just in our county, obviously. That's statewide. That's a state statute. So I'd ask for your approval of that petition and resolution.
Okay, need a motion.
So moved.
I second the last one.
Been moved in.
I second.
Been moved in seconds. Open for discussion.
And this is only $22,000. This is $22,000 one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's not the $400,000 one.
Okay. Any discussion?
Then we would be asking.
No, I'd say we need to get the money out of Douglas County. Get Douglas County to pay, and they're paying $375.
No respect for the budget.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next resolution is for County Road 20. This is actually Hensley Road in the vicinity of where it hits Market Street up by Route 57. There's a structure on that roadway that by new federal rules being passed down to IDOT, structures of this age, this structure was built in 1945, and which makes it 70 years plus old. The design loads that they used to design for these types of structures were not obviously designed to carry the loads that the roads are carrying now. It used to be, until a month ago, that IDOT and the county could use our engineering judgment to say that the structure is adequate for carrying the loads that it's carried for 70 years, because it hasn't fallen down yet, so you got pretty good historical information there. FHWA, with some of the things that have gone on across the country, has passed down a new mandate that we can no longer use engineering judgment. So those structures actually have to be rated based on this wonderful computer formula that IDOT uses. This bridge has been rated to the point where it's going to have to be posted. And we all know Hensley Road, there's a lot of development going on out there. International is moving their services out there. There's another building being developed out there, so there's a lot of truck traffic on that roadway. We're hoping that it's only the superstructure, which is basically the deck of the bridge, that will need to be replaced, because the substructure or the abutments have no physical wear on them at all. And they do have piles underneath them, and they were built structurally adequate to carry loads. It's just the deck and the surface. So in order to replace that deck on that bridge, we're estimating in the neighborhood of $400,000, everything included. And we're hoping to do that in a very timely fashion, because it's probably within the next month or two we're going to get that letter from IDOT that says the bridge is now needed to be posted. And we have 30 days to put the signs up to post it. And then everybody's going to get up in arms out there.
What will they post it at?
Don't know yet, John.
What would you guess?
20 to 30 tons, somewhere in that neighborhood, instead of 40, which is 80,000 pounds. It does have some, we were going to replace it in the five-year plan anyway, because some of the concrete on the underside of it, the rebars have corroded and the concrete's starting to scale off. But I mean, the rebars in that thing are, you know, that big around. inside that, and that concrete was probably mixed in the creek, and it's probably got rocks in it the size of your coffee cup. I mean, there's no way that thing's going to fall in, but this is what we have to deal with. And we don't, unfortunately, don't have any recourse to say no.
What will your new super deluxe model weight limit be?
There won't be any weight limit. I mean, it'll be designed to the new standards, which of course could change in 20 years, but they have an HL93, which is a 93,000 pound standard as far as for trucks, but it'll be able to carry a couple hundred thousand pounds. As we know, the weight limits on these vehicles continue to rise. There's stuff in the works at Washington, D.C. to raise weight limits on the interstates, you know, to 90,000 pounds, which eventually will trickle down to the local roads at some point. You know, we already went from 73,280 to 80,000 pounds just a few years ago. The Illinois Soybean Association is really pushing to increase the load limit on the bridges because they're claiming that there's going to have to be a lot less loads, you know, repetition if they can carry more weight. You know, you get to the point where a lot of these bridges that are 50 plus years old just were never designed to carry those types of loads, nor were the roads, especially the township roads, ever designed to carry those types of loads. So it's an ever-increasing weight limit and just a ever-increasing struggle to try to keep those weight limits at a point where we can, you know, be able to still service the vehicles that are going across our roads.
Well, I think you alluded to this is in a unique position where I think it'll only have more heavy traffic in the future. In fact, maybe a lot more.
Yes. And so, yeah, that area is developing.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there are a lot of areas of the county where if the feds said that, I'd say put up the posted sign and tell people to go around. But, I mean, you're just right by that interchange. It is, what, 3 miles down to get to Olympian to go, you know, is the alternative.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, you can't get to market without crossing this bridge, basically. If you're coming from Dewey Fisher Road area, International, for instance, I believe would be on the west side of that bridge, so they wouldn't even be able to get to the interstate without crossing the bridge.
Well, they'd have to go to Olympia.
Yeah, and go around.
Yeah, so, I agree. I don't see where that much.
So there's not a lot of choice. I mean, it was on the horizon, but it just kind of pushes the time limit ahead.
Now, that's not a county road, right? That's still a township road?
No, that's county.
So that is actually a county highway?
Yes.
Okay.
Once it gets past where it intersects Market, it becomes a township road. So we go up.
Oh, just a little stub.
Yeah.
That runs up, curves north.
Okay. Right. Yep, that's township.
Okay. But it's county from
Dewey Fisher Road to
Market Street. And was Market Street county or is that state?
That is either state or city.
Okay.
The state has a portion of it and the city has a portion of it.
Does the state part run all the way to Hensley or does it end at the interstate? Who has it between the interstate and the, who has that west side of the interstate curve there?
West. That's the state.
So the state has it all the way up to Hensley?
Yes.
And then Hensley's
right.
Okay.
And then as you go south on Market,
eventually it becomes city.
Becomes city.
Okay.
Yep.
So the pilings you said you thought were okay when you take this bridge apart?
We're hoping.
So
now, unfortunately, the amount of construction data that's available for a bridge that was built 70 years ago is pretty minimal.
That's even older than.
Yeah, probably. John was around when they built that sucker.
Probably.
So there's an amount of engineering judgment that has to go into whether or not that, you know, but obviously we're going to make sure that whatever judgment is used is not going to come back to haunt us in the future.
So then if it's not 91, it doesn't get you up to 91,000.
Then it's about a $650,000 project.
Okay, and then you come back to us and say, give me.
Yeah. But we have to do the engineering study
right.
in order to figure all that out. So this appropriates enough money to replace the deck, do the engineering work. Then if we have to do a full bridge replacement, we'd have to appropriate an additional amount of money.
So how does that work? You put the deck on, and then you got to go back and put the pilings on.
No, it doesn't. somebody gets fired.
Okay.
Yep. That's not the way to do business.
So would this happen this construction season?
It's possible that we could do the deck this construction season. We get into a full bridge replacement, then you're touching the stream, then you got EPA, you got everybody else looking at the stream to see if there's any kind of mussels or fish or crabs in there that we can't touch or what have you. So then it becomes a lot more difficult to complete the project in this year.
Can't interfere with the trout fishing on the...
Yeah, whatever stream that is,
there's
right?
Plenty of crowd. They just can't find them when they're fishing. It's the little darter fish you got.
And unfortunately, they can't do those like those mussel surveys until a certain time of the year because that's when the mussels are there. So it's not like they can just go out in March and say, hey, there's no mussels. Well, I think it's a July time frame where they have to actually do those stream surveys to see if there's any endangered species.
You're making me proud to be an American right now.
I know. I know. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to try to deal with all those mandates to try to get something built. Some of them are good. Some of them are a little shaky.
Do the truckers ever help out on these bridges since we're building it for them?
Well, they do because they pay motor fuel tax at the pump, and that money comes back to us. But directly, no. Indirectly, yes.
Yeah, but this is a consequence of sprawl. What's going on Addis before it even becomes Dewey Fisher? Mm-hmm. That warehouse that was built
okay, or expanded. Need a motion. Hmm? I'm saying we need a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
So the next three items are kind of as one. We had our bituminous material letting in order to award the liquid asphalt for our seal coat operations on the county and the township roadways for 2016. The bid tabs are in your packet. I've also passed out a spreadsheet which does a comparison of the 2015 costs to the 2016 costs. So just like gas, bituminous material has gone down since 2015. So we have two bids. We have a furnished and spread bid, which means the contractor orders the oil is transported out to the site, he puts it in his distributor, and the distributor sprays the oil on the roadway for use in seal coating operations. You see, that's the Ileana one, $1.93 for your typical emulsions, $2.19 for your polymer modified emulsions, and then the MC800, which is a prime oil that you spray on rock before you even do a seal coat operation, was at $4 per gallon. And then we have a FOB, which basically means picking up the oil at the plant from a Emulsicoat here in town. Some guys like to do this because they like to find out what it costs them to transport and spread the oil on the roadway. You'll see that came in at $1.55 for your emulsions, $1.80 for your polymer modified, and then the SC3000, that's another prime oil at $2.35, and the MC30 is a prime oil at $2.50. So you'll see the difference between the $1.55 and the $1.93. That's your cost to spread the oil on the roadway, basically, and transport it out to the site. That's the So, good prices. I think the townships were excited because they can actually do more work this year. The county is doing about 30 miles of seal coat operations this year, which is a lot more than we typically do because of the prices that we're seeing. So, we're still worried about motor fuel tax beyond this budget cycle. Well, I guess what we call a budget cycle, the state doesn't have a budget, but at least we have motor fuel tax. So come July, we're still unsure whether they'll hold that motor fuel tax again, but we have enough money from our previous allocations to be able to do this program in the summer, which is kind of what we try to do. We try to get the money in the bank before we do the work, try not to bet on the come as far as maintenance type work goes. So I would ask for your approval of the two resolutions, one awarding to Ileana Construction for furnish and spread, and the other one for FOB to Emulsicoat in Urbana.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Good news for the Lincoln Avenue right-of-way. We settled for what you guys told me I could settle at, finally. After about seven iterations of, we want this, and I kept saying, no, we're going to pay this. And we finally got to the point where they, I believe, if rumors are correct, they tried to hire an appraiser to appraise the property, and the appraiser basically said, there's no way I'm going to be able to appraise it for more than you're offering, so don't spend your money on me as an appraiser. And so they came to the decision that, you know, they were either going to have to go to court, which was not going to be in their best interest, or settle for what we were offering. So we're in the process right now of putting the closing documents together. It's the City of Urbana does that with their legal staff in order to sign those. And we will have all that wrapped up by the end of the month, because we have to have right-of-way certification by April the 29th in order to move forward with the project. We're looking at a June letting. It'll be on the state's big letting in June, which means we would get contracts probably the end of July and could start construction first part of August on Lincoln Avenue. It's a 200-plus working day project, so there's absolutely no way we'll complete the project this year. So, you know, due to the fact that we've got August, September, October probably to work, we're going to put some staging requirements in the contract that they have to start on the south end where Lincoln Avenue currently ends, and then build going north, and that they won't be able to close any of current Lincoln Avenue this year because we don't want it closed all winter. So they'll do the dirt work basically through the part that's not on top of old Lincoln Avenue this year. They might end up doing some paving work in those areas, you know, if they have good weather and time allows. But and then next year we'll move ahead and finish the project, tying into Olympian Drive. We're not going to open up Olympian Drive until Lincoln Avenue is totally complete, because there's nowhere for anybody to go once they cross the bridge, across the railroad. You can't dump them onto a Seal Coat Township road.
Well, you can't dump trucks. You can certainly dump passenger cars. Can you weight limit it?
You could, but who's going to go out there and tell the trucks they can't dump? We don't have the sheriff department or the police force to monitor that.
Slow down construction.
Yeah. So, an Olympian will be done probably by June. You know, all things considered, it's not done now. There's still some paving work and some seating work, kind of off the roadway type work that still needs to be completed on that project. So, it'll probably basically sit for a year or so until we get Lincoln Avenue done and opened up. It would have been nice had we just been able to do it all, but we know the timing was, we struggled with the timing due to the right-of-way acquisition and so forth. So
it would be nice. I sat out yesterday at the railroad crossing for 15 minutes, no train in sight.
With the gates down
and
lights flashing.
With the gates down and lights flashing. Hit Lincoln and come on out.
What do you think of that, Patsy?
One of the arguments was emergency for this. The first one was emergency vehicle access.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to have some provision for them to be able to use the road, but
it's kind of hard to close it.
It's hard to do.
Yeah. Because like once you let it somebody through, everybody.
Sounds like shove the barricades out of the way if something's on fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could. That's for sure.
Do we need a motion or anything on this? Or this
no, information purposes only.
Okay.
The Tuskegee Airmen Celebration, I know Deb was there and Patsy spoke at the celebration. I thought it was really a moving celebration.
Lorraine
was there, that's right.
I sat next to
you. Sat up front and I didn't get to talk to you.
Max
you weren't
was,
there? Yeah, Max came for a bit. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it up.
Max was in and out.
Got some good coverage.
Yeah, they did. Got some good coverage. Got a picture on the front page.
Saw your picture putting up the sign?
Yeah.
You're out there every day putting up signs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know. You bet.
So are they all up now or only the ones that you can do on the...
We have four of them up currently,
okay,
of the seven that we can put up.
Okay.
We'll get the rest of them put up here in the next week or so. And then I know they're still working on the interstate signage.
Oh.
I don't know where that's at
because
I'm not really too close to that part of it.
Okay. And that's a Springfield thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought that was a District 5 thing. Is it actually no. Springfield?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be designated somehow through
okay.
some
all
kind
right.
of state legislation in order for the signs to be able to be erected on the roadway.
It's not like they're passing a budget. They might as well do something.
Yeah, why not?
Well, some of the stupid stuff they're trying to do, they might as well quit wasting their time on that.
I've got some few minor things
model.
They could work on.
But I thought it was a good celebration. As a matter of fact, the next week, again on like Tuesday, Rob Gorham, called me and
it's Gorham.
He got a hold of the U of I Department of Athletics and got D. Brown to go down to the southern border of the county on 45 and help us, if you will, install one of the signs. And he took a bunch of pictures of that. And he's trying to work with the university to try to make this kind of a bigger deal within the Department of Athletics. Trying to do the, you know, he was thinking maybe it might help with some of their racial issues that they've had on campus as well as through the...
it's a recruiting tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have they got a hold of the ROTC? I mean, they're part of the whole thing, too.
When what?
The ROTC was
I don't
part
know.
Of bringing the airmen here, too, on campus.
I don't know who he's all working
part of their legacy.
Yeah.
And it would help.
Yep.
You know, get through the
yep.
university. We call Emily Brown and talk to her about it. She's been working there forever.
We got Naval ROTC. Do we have? Is there Army Air Force?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I know there is. Okay. I know Naval's has been the big frowsy presence at campus.
So it's still ongoing.
It was very well done.
And I don't think you've seen the end of his efforts.
Rob's a neighbor, and I didn't know that he had all this influence in his bones. It's very impressive. He had the governor there.
Rodney Davis.
Yeah, Rodney Davis. And the governor stayed through the whole thing. So.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, apparently the governor called him that morning, I think, or maybe the evening before to tell him he's going to be there. He didn't know he was going to be there until very late.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. Because he called me that morning. Things have changed. Governor's going to be there. We're going to change the agenda.
He knows how to tap into.
So
I was proud. I think the governor was driving a Chevrolet. I thought that was good.
Instead of a foreign job, is that what you mean?
Instead of a big old stretched out old deal.
He didn't come on his motorcycle?
I don't think so.
Oh, shoot.
It was a little rainy and chilly that day.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was.
I realize I haven't been out of the county since they put those signs up, because I haven't
come back in to see them. They're pretty, some of our signs are actually, like the one we put down on 45, it's bigger than the Champaign County sign, so the actual...
There's a lot more text, I mean, it's not a character. Where are they now, 45 south?
45 south, 45 north, 136 on both sides, 150 on both sides, and then 47 coming in from the north.
And which ones are actually up?
Let's see, 45, 47, 150 over on the west side, and 136 on the west side.
Well, it's so very nice.
Who's going to put them on the interstate?
That would be IDOT's responsibility.
Yeah, that's IDOT.
We don't have any authority out of
there. But they're working on it, right? We think.
Yes.
Yeah. I think...
Rob will not let that go.
I don't think so.
I can assure you.
Shane was talking about calling Scott Bennett and get a hold of
him. Yeah, I'll mention it to Scott next time we see him.
Yeah, and try to get a hold of Chapin. Get him going on both sides. You're not doing anything else. Do this.
Absolutely. We'll do your job. We got a job for you to do.
And then you have the semi-annual review of the closed session minutes.
Okay, everybody got a chance to look at them. And for the semi-annual review, the state's attorney recommends they remain closed.
Move that we keep them closed on the advice of the state's attorney.
Second.
In discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
And I have a couple of requests to move highway committee meetings in June and July because I'm going to be gone on the actual scheduled dates. So if we could possibly change June 10th to June 3rd and change July 8th to July 1st. I know the July 1st one's kind of tough because that's the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, it's a long weekend.
Mm-hmm. You also typically oftentimes cancel we don't. Committee meetings in July.
Right.
It's what?
You also typically cancel committee meetings in July.
I'll move it and cancel it. No.
Well, could you just change the June meeting right now and at the June meeting either cancel or change the date for the July meeting?
Sure. If that's okay with the committee.
Yeah.
Sure, I move we reschedule the June Highway Committee meeting to June 3rd at the usual time and place.
Second that.
Oh, go ahead.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we're going to change the July 8th meeting at our next month meeting.
Yeah, we'll see if we need a meeting. We may. If we have a bid or something that we need to have approved. It may be a short meeting, but we may need to, or maybe we could take it directly to the county board, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Done that in the past.
Okay, next thing is approval of the closed session minutes.
You did that?
No, that was for the semi-annual.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, move approval of the, what's the date?
February 5th.
Move approval of the February 5th closed session minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, no chairs report. Okay, the designated items are going there.
It'll be 9, 10, 11, 13, and 14.
Okay.
What about 8?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah. 8. My fault. Mm-hmm. Wasn't on my.
That would be a big one to miss. So, how many more committee meetings do we have with our friend here? With Dad?
This is it.
This is it?
All right.
See, she don't want to go.
She doesn't. Boy, we should have brought.
Maybe we can vote her back in.
This is one of my favorite.
Yes. We could just have coffee somewhere.
We could have it at her house.
That's true. We can get together 9 o'clock. Friday for coffee. Anytime you want.
That's exciting.
Is there anything else to go in terms of the committee? Okay. Declare adjourned.
Madam Chair.